Bring It On is a public affairs program exploring the people, issues, and events affecting the African-American communities in South Central Indiana and beyond.
Bring It On is a forum for the people, by the people, produced by an independent team of volunteers working at the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana,
and financially supported by listeners like you.
Happy Monday. I'm Cornelius Wright, and welcome to Bring It On, a multiple award-winning show celebrating over 11 years as Indiana's only weekly community radio show committed to exploring the people, issues, and events impacting the African-American community.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lila Randall. I'm back. And in today's broadcast, you'll also hear our perspective on what's relevant in the African-American world of news and local events of interest, all in the next hour on Bring It On.
And definitely welcome back, Lila. But first, Dr. Justin Hunter served as the principal of Fairview Elementary School from 2014 to 2016. Dr. Hunter recently talked with the Commission on the Status of Black Males about his tenure at Fairview Elementary. When asked, "What do you want people to remember about your tenure at Fairview Elementary?" he replied that "I was dedicated to the academic, social, and economic advancement of every child, regardless of race, gender, and socioeconomic status."
Back in June, the School Board of Metropolitan School District of Lawrence Township approved the appointment of Dr. Justin Hunter to the position of principal of Skiles Test Elementary School, effective July 1st, recognized as an A district by the Indiana Department of Education. Lawrence Township also is recognized as a Lighthouse School District, a reputation built over the years based on the district's award-winning staff, accomplished administrators, high-achieving students, supportive community, and innovative educational programs.
We have invited Dr. Hunter to share with us his triumphs and challenges while as principal of Fairview. In addition, we'll ask what his aspirational goals are as he now charts a new course at Skiles Elementary. Dr. Hunter, welcome to Bring It On.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be on with you, to talk with you, and to hear what's going on and to be able to answer questions for you.
Well, the first thing I'd personally like to do is thank you for taking the time to do the interview with the Status of Black Males. We really appreciate it. We know you were going through a rough transitional time, so thank you for sitting down and talking with us. One thing that wasn't mentioned in the intro was when you came to Fairview, the school was in pretty dire straits, to say the least. Would you talk about some of the challenges you faced when you first came to Fairview and that road to the success that we saw in your 2 years?
Well, first, thank you again for giving me the opportunity to talk with you. Some of those challenges, or opportunities rather, that presented itself at Fairview Elementary School after doing a listening tour was to see how we can school, looking at some of the poverty issues, the high mobility, high teacher mobility, as well as student high mobility rate. And I think that was evident in the Herald Times article, extensive write-up that they had done on teacher mobility of Fairview Elementary School. Looking at that high poverty, high mobility of students and teacher, and then looking at the perception of a beloved school. Having done, going down to the Banneker sitting, looking on the walls, doing the research behind Banneker that led into the Fairview Elementary School, and seeing that Fairview was indeed a treasure within the Monroe County Community School Corporation. So looking at the status of Fairview, the heart that was behind it, the goal for the school, and then seeing the plight that it was facing with the letter grade, with some of the challenges that was faced, and then wanting to connect with, to reach out and to connect with community partners, to listen to them, to see what their goals were, them and the parents, to see what their goals were, what their desires were, and what opportunities presented themselves on their end to help collaborate to move that student achievement.
So in the beginning, I believe, I'm not sure, you can correct me, Fairview was rated an F school, and when you left, what was it rated?
When I left Fairview, it was a C school. Upon my arrival, Fairview was in the third year of an F. It was a either focus or priority school, I can't remember, but it had extensive DOE, Indiana Department of Education visits. At the time, I can recall having my first year somewhere to the tune of 7, 8, 9 visits between virtual visits, phone conferences, and actual on-site visits from the Department of Education. So upon my arrival, I found a school that was in dire academic straits. I found extensive DOE interventions and then trying to galvanize together community partnerships. So one, looking at the dire straits of the school. Two, trying to get community partnerships to buy in for Fairview. Three, the extensive DOE visits. And four, dealing with high, low teacher morale as a result of that, and then the high teacher mobility rate. So those were some of the things that I came into, and knowing that I was brought on board by a wonderful superintendent and a wonderful school board, I was brought on to be able to implement effective laser-like strategies, pinpoint the issue, onboard strategies, and to produce results.
You know, one thing that I just found really interesting is, and just in my first question, I asked what the problems were at Fairview. And when you answered, you turned that around to what the opportunities were. So I think it really shows the positive manner in which you think going into a situation. I know when we were speaking at your going away reception that you mentioned some of the partnerships and some of the things that you did to garner those partnerships. Would you mind sharing that with some of our listeners, how you went about the university and the different places and how you did that?
Well, the first thing was on a listening tour, first looking at the data to show what the data, to see what the data illustrated what those opportunities were. And then taking those, armed with that data, taking those to people of goodwill. As Dr. Martin King said, it's not the words of my enemies that hurt me so bad, it's the silence of my friends. And so armed with that, I went to those who were friends of Fairview to say, here's what our data shows. I went to the Kelley School of Business and got a wonderful reception to the point where they came in to assist with the rebranding. Had lunch with them, showed them the data, showed what the perception of our school was, and asked, I need your help to help rebrand this school as far as the perception is concerned. I went to the School of Education and said, this is what the data shows academically. How can Fairview sit within the mile of a university, of a Big Ten university, and have the academic concerns or opportunities that we're showing? They came on board. Very passionate partners helped to write a grant as a result of that called the LIFE Grant, L-I-F-E, that included Lawrence Township, Indianapolis Public Schools, and F-E for Fairview Elementary. Wrote that grant through the Indiana Higher Education Department. They did, rather, IU did, to bring professors and real-time strategic strategies to teachers. That was the Kelly's. That was the School of Education with Dr. Gonzalez, with his desire to and his passion to be an authentic partner, along with the Kelley School of Business, and then along with Dean Richardson, the Jacobs School of Music. Through the years, they have been a strategic partner of Fairview. I looked at their research that they had done while being there and said, how can we take that and enhance it? How can we take the good things that we've done in the music department and with the research and take it from good to great? And they became a great partner. Went over to not only them, but also the St. John sisters that were great partners in Fairview. Went over to the NAACP, a great partner that came on board and supported and was in the school real-time providing authentic support. Went to the Exchange Club. They, too, were partners. Cook Pharmaceuticals and the chairman of the board came out and met with him knee to knee and eye to eye and heart to heart, looking at that data. And he says, well, Dr. Hunter, what is it that we can do to be of support? Looked at the warehouse. They came on board, again, knee to knee, eye to eye, heart to heart, what the data shows. Not only the warehouse, Cook Pharmaceuticals. It was just so many partnerships. The Sheriff's Department, Bethel AME Church, Second Baptist Church with Pastor Rose. And it all came about as simply saying, here's the data. The numbers speak for themselves. No one person, the school did not fail or present itself in this position by itself. And so since it didn't get here by itself, how can we as a community wrap our hands around Fairview Elementary School. How can we put all of our hands, each partner put our hands on a child and ensure their success? And as a result of that, we had, and this is an absolute fact, over 400 volunteers in Fairview in one academic year. That was the Boys and Girls Club. That was the Parks Department, their strategic partnership, the Banneker Center. Over 400 partners. That could not have been done if it had not been for people of goodwill wanting to see that every child succeeds every single year.
So what you're saying is you got ideas from IU and Jacob School of Music, and then you have volunteers to work with these children one-on-one, because from the data, it sounds like what you determined was that these children weren't getting the necessary skills that they needed to be successful. Is this correct?
What I'm saying is that it is not only an academic piece.
Okay.
It is an academic and social component.
Okay.
That before we can meet the academic needs, we must meet the social, the emotional and the social needs of students. And so I was strategic in looking at those partners that could provide strategic aligned support to each one of those, whether it was academic or whether it was emotional or social emotional support. And so those partners came along to provide that support in those respective areas, whether it was tutoring support from the St. John Sisters, whether it was tutoring support from the Banneker Center, Bloomington Parks Department, whether it was tutors that was provided through the Parks Department or the Boys and Girls Club with Cook Pharmaceuticals providing their employees to come and tutor at the Boys and Girls Club. So all of those things work together simply by looking at the data, seeing that we had a high rate of suspension, we had a high rate of disproportionality of students in special education, that we had strategic issues or concerns, or opportunities, rather, in the area of number sense, computation, algebraic function, and in language convention. So I looked at the social, I looked at the academic, presented the case to our partners, and then aligned them accordingly.
So you're talking about all the partners. What about the parents? What did the parents do to help bring this grade up from an F to a C?
Well, many of our parents were concerned. Many of our parents were supportive. Our PTO, outstanding. The PTO was outstanding partners, provided real-time support, presented opportunities. Matter of fact, we took our PTO meetings outside of Fairview Elementary School and took them over to the communities in which our students resided. And so our parents would come. They came and learned strategies on how to help their child with number sense or computation, or algebraic function, or language conventions, such as what is a noun, verb, adverb, adjective, simple sentence, compound sentence, so on and so forth. And so the parents came to the school, and we provided them with strategies in order to help their children after school. In addition, we was able to provide, the first year at Fairview Elementary School, we provided GED courses for parents or community members or who had children in Fairview. So we wanted to give them the tools they needed as well to be productive citizens, as well as enlightened parents to better assist their child. So we provided GED courses for parents at Fairview, as well as we had after-school workshops during the day as well as after school to say, okay, this is what your particular child had a concern with, and here are the strategies that we want to provide you in order to fill those gaps, in order to enhance their academic achievement.
You know, one of the concerns that several of the black males in the community had was the lack of representation in the schools of black teachers. And, you know, with you leaving, that left a big void. So what we did was the first day of school, there was probably about 18 to 20 of us that greeted the students as Fairview as the bus came, giving them high fives as they went into the classroom.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing. But what must members of the community do to ensure that our students continue to thrive at Fairview?
Well, one of the things that was of great importance to me is that Fairview Elementary School must continue to strive to have a instructional or support staff that resembles America, Bloomington, and hence Fairview, which is a microcosm of a greater society. And so in that, My goal was I was able to hire, bring on a teacher of color. Last year I was able to hire the first African American head secretary of color, Asian teachers, the first, if not the first, the second head custodian of African descent at Fairview Elementary School, Asian and Latino teachers or of Latin descent. And so that's very important to me in order to provide our students with support and instructional staff that is capable of providing them with great services so that when our students leave Fairview Elementary School, they know that they have indeed been exposed to various cultures, religions, and ethnicities. As far as the African-American community is concerned, if that was your question, make sure I want to answer that for you, is that one of the things that I would encourage our community to continue to do is to be unapologetic about the support in which they give every child, regardless of where they come from, their economic background, or religious affiliation, that the community aligned strategically with classroom teachers indeed have, and they truly have the power to change the lives of every child. And as long as teachers, administrators, and community partners are unapologetic in ensuring that every child comes first, Fairview Elementary School will continue to make great strides in advancing the lives of children.
So can you tell me, what have you learned about the students in our community? I want you to know I have substitute taught at Fairview, so I have my opinion, so I'd like you to share yours.
About your question is, what
students.
Have I learned about the children of our community?
Yeah, the students, yes.
One, that they are indeed resilient. That children come into the world innocent, wholesome, and excited to embrace the world. That they bounce back. That they're sponges, eager to learn any and everything that's presented to them. That their hearts are open for sincere relationships with adults that want to mentor them or love them or simply read to them. That our children can rise to any occasion and surpass any bar if simply given the opportunity to do so. That they can, and they do every time, surpass expectations when they are given the tools needed to do so.
You know, let's talk a little bit about Skiles Test Elementary School and the district. It was recognized as an A district by the Indiana Department of Education. And I know you've just been there for a short amount of time, but was there any noticeable difference in the resources that you have there as opposed to the resources that you came in to Fairview with?
What I've noticed is that Lawrence Township has a very robust system of support, as well as Monroe County Community Schools. And what I found is that looking at what the data says and aligning those resources to meet those specific needs. We have it just like in Monroe County Community Schools. The Lawrence Township Community School Board is very enthusiastic about the growth of Skiles Test, the potential of Skiles Test, as well as the support of that superintendent, the same as the superintendent in Monroe County Community School Corporation. The partnerships are there. They're excited to work with our students at Skiles Test. And one thing that I have found to be true, whether it is in IPS, whether it's in Monroe County Community School Corporation, whether it's Pike Township, or whether it's Lawrence Township, what I have found is that children in all of the communities are excited for relationships with adults, and they're eager to please and to show what they're able to do if simply given their chance. And so what we're doing in Lawrence is presenting those opportunities for adults to partnership with us, and they're doing so, providing our teachers with new tools, retooling some strategies to make sure that our children do meet the goals that their parents have for them, as well as their teachers and administrators. As far specifically as other resources, comparatively speaking, those resources and districts depend on local funding, on some aspects of local funding. But to be honest with you, my goal going into Lawrence Township or in Monroe County was more so to look at the data, see what the data says, and then to go and find those partnerships inside the district or outside the district that are able to meet those student achievement goals.
Okay. Well, I think you may have answered my question, because I was going to say, you're at an A school now. What kind of matrix are you going to use for your success?
Well, the matrix that I use for my success is, one, the reduction, looking at the data as far as what are the suspension rates, what are the rates for inclusion in special education, what are the rates of passing on I-STEP. And so looking at those data pieces, what are the rates on attendance, daily attendance? And so, for an example, my goal for attendance is at 98%. Students who attend school 98%, so that data, those data fall below that, then implementing strategies to increase that. If looking at suspension rates, if those rates are out of kilter, then what strategies do we need to do to reduce those rates? For an example, having community meetings with parents, providing parents with resources or strategies to equip them or to help prepare them to get their children to school on time. If it's the issue in the data pieces, so again, all of those are data-driven decision-making that rest on those pieces. So what I'm going to do to make the, to take it from good to great, if I'm understanding your question, basically, is to look at where they are, and then wherever those opportunities present themselves, align those strategies to enhance what we already have.
Okay, for our listening audience, we are talking with Dr. Justin Hunter, the former principal of Fairview Elementary School. Dr. Hunter, you mentioned one of the things that that you really enjoyed was that the parents and the people in the community participating one-on-one with the students. For our listening audience, for those people who may want to do some type of volunteer work at Fairview and the other schools in the district, who would they contact? How do they go about becoming volunteers?
Well, I would encourage them to reach out to the PR department or go up to the Monroe County Community School Corporation headquarters. There's a receptionist there that will be eager to serve you. They'll be eager to present you with reasons, I believe it is, and background checks, and to align you with any school within Monroe County to where you feel that your services can best be used. The district is always welcoming to that support, and I encourage you that every day I encourage my parents in Fairview, as I do in Scouts Test now, is that we want to present every volunteer with an opportunity to serve. Everybody can't serve every day. Everybody can't serve every month, but everybody can serve at least once a year. 30 minutes once a year truly can make a difference in the life of a child. So I would encourage them to go to their headquarters at Monroe County Community Schools. Go into the door. There's a receptionist there, and he would point you in the direction that you need to go. If they want to volunteer at Fairview, I'm sure Fairview will be more than willing to be gracious to them, to present them with a chance to volunteer. Or whatever school it is, all they have to do is go to that Monroe County Community School Corporation headquarters, explain to them what their goals and what their heart desires to do, and I assure you that they will be more than glad to reach out a hand to them and to bring them on board.
Since you were so successful, I would say that from an F to a C is success. Do you think that the new principal will continue your vision and your style?
I think that every leadership, every great leader, learns from your predecessor, those who came before you, to learn that the good and those things that can be enhanced. And so I'm sure that the following administrator will look at those strategies that work effectively at Fairview Elementary School and will build upon that. As I do at Scouts Test, I look at the great things that has been done at Scouts Test and look at how can I then take those good things and make them great. And I'm sure that the principal of Fairview Elementary School will look at the foundation that was laid there with community partners, look at the C that has been gone, and then take that school from a C to an A. So I'm sure she has her own styles. I'm sure that she's a wonderful administrator with a plethora of experiences, and so she'll build upon that foundation that has already been laid to enhance the school and to take it to the next level.
I know I must say that in talking to her, I called her to ask her permission if it would be okay for a large group of black males to stand out in front of the school on the first day and greet the students, and she was so receptive and so warm, and I really look forward to working with her. You made a lot of friends in the community in your tenure here. What would you like to say to our listening audience and your friends about your time in Bloomington?
I would like my friends, colleagues, in Monroe County to know that it has truly been a pleasure to serve with them. They were a joy. The work was hard. It was difficult, but it was rewarding. Every venue in that city came with open hearts. The teachers, the assistant superintendent, the school board, the police department, the sheriff's department, the fire department, Cook, IU, the churches. They made my time in Bloomington a wonderful time, and I cannot thank them enough for all of the support, all of the letters of encouragement, all of the attaboys to the teachers that they were doing coming into the building. They were wonderful partners, and surely that would be a hard act to follow for any community to come behind how wonderfully the community came out in Monroe County. I simply want to tell them thank you for the two wonderful years, for the sincere partnerships, and I look forward to serving them and meeting them again in the future.
I know William really wanted to be here this evening, but he couldn't. And we've been talking, and one of the things we talked about is we both told you we were going to come up to Indianapolis to church service. And we need the address of your church so we can do that.
Well, indeed. I look forward to seeing you when you come. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to talk about the great things happening that has transpired in Monroe County at Fairview, and the great things that are ahead for all of our children in that school and the entire community. And I want to just tell you thank you for this opportunity. I look forward to speaking with you all and seeing you all again.
We thank you.
Okay, we want to thank Dr. Justin Hunter, former principal of Fairview Elementary and current principal of Skiles Test Elementary of Lawrence Township, for joining us by phone this evening. We want to publicly thank him for his service and leadership at Fairview and wish him well on his new assignment at Skiles Test Elementary in Lawrence Township in Indianapolis.
Bring It On has an open submission policy. So if you have an idea for this program, let's hear it. Send an email to our volunteer staff. The address is bringiton@wfhb.org. We want to make sure we share everything and anything affecting the African-American community with our listening audience in Bloomington and beyond. The email address, once again, is bringiton@wfhb.org.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? To save a world in despair, who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow. Bells won't be ringing.
No, bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today,
children today,
really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
on who is to blame.
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live for life.
Life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, the blood feel. You got feeling. You will save the babies. All of the children.
But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Support for WFHB comes from Chris Holly, attorney at law, helping families prepare for Medicaid eligibility for long-term nursing home and home care. Your guide through the Medicaid maze at 812-335-8294 or MedicaidGuide.com. Support for WFHB also comes from the Uptown Cafe, a Bloomington landmark since 1976, serving Cajun Creole and home cooking specials every Tuesday and Wednesday evening. Featuring a full bar serving fresh handcrafted cocktails. The Uptown Cafe is located in downtown Bloomington. More information is available online at the-uptown.com.
Save the Children was issued on Marvin's 1971 album, What's Going On? One
remember
of my favorite
said,
albums.
Remember, you
of
and
all
I
time.
Both agreed that the 70s was the best years.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No question.
Okay.
The song was a continuation of the message, What's Going On? Delivered about love. This time for the children. Diana Ross would later cover the song in a melody featuring the jazz song Brown Baby on her album Touch Me in the Morning. Marvin sang this song briefly while touring in Europe in 1976, including the song as part of What's Going On Melody.
This is Bring It On, the People's Forum for Black Culture in South Central Indiana and beyond. Are you a tweeter? You're invited to follow the WFHB News Twitter account. This is a great way to get breaking news and updates on what's going on behind the scenes and on the air with WFHB News. Go to twitter.com and search for WFHB News, or you can always visit WFHB News' website at wfhb.org/news.
Bring It On is Indiana's only public affairs program dedicated to the African-American community here on WFHB 91.3 FM and live on the web at wfhb.org. It's time now to give you the latest perspective on the people, news, and issues affecting the black community. For Bring It On, I'm Cornelius Wright.
And I'm Lila Randall.
And ladies first.
Okay. This is, I've been on the internet kind of debating with people about this one, so maybe we could have one too.
All right.
The NBC anchor, okay, Al Roker goes in on Ryan Lochte because internet becomes internet hero. The NBC anchor was not going to let Billy Bush go soft on Lochte. Hillary Hansen, viral news editor of the Huffington Post, reports that if Ryan Lochte is looking for a sympathetic ear, Al Roker is not his guy. The NBC weather anchor did not leave viewers wondering how he really felt about the Olympic gold medalist's debunked story about being robbed with his teammates in Rio. He lied to you. He lied to Matt Lauer. He lied to his mom, Roker told Billy Bush on the Today Show on Friday. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled. There was no robbery. There was no pullover. He lied. Bush, who was the one to first report that Lochte was robbed while interviewing the swimmer on Sunday, tried feebly to defend Lochte, saying he lied about some details, but Roker was not messing around. Anchor Natalie Morales also took issue with Bush's characterization, but she didn't begin to approach Roker's level of indignation. Over the weekend, the swimming Olympian faced NBC's Matt Lauer in an exclusive interview surrounding his robbery narrative, which Brazilian police believe to be false. I over-exaggerated that story, Lochte said during an emotional interview. He told Lauer he wasn't sure why he decided to give an incorrect account regarding last Sunday's event and said he was extremely intoxicated during the incident.
Alrighty, so what's your debate been?
It hasn't been necessarily about Lochte. It's about the $11,000 that the Brazilians made the other teammate pay before he left the United States. And the debate was whether they were justified to make him pay that sort of, I don't know, that money to get him out.
Well, you can call it what it is. It's a stupidity tax. And yes, when you're in another country and you act a fool, sometimes you've got to do with the laws of the land. When foreigners come to the United States, trust me, if they break laws, if they violate the laws, they'll be lucky if they just get charged with a penalty. The jail cell is awaiting them. So as far as I'm concerned, they didn't go far enough. They lied. They caused a scene. They should have gone to jail. Black folks would have.
Yes, they would have. And also, the fact that he knew he was wrong, he hightailed it on out of there.
He never had to lie in the first place.
He just hightailed it on out of there. And I just think that I was listening to... I was at Planet Fitness, and I happened to be kind of listening to that other news station, and the guy said they were drunk. That would have been me. And just writing it off like it was like no big thing. And I'm like, wait a minute now. This should not have happened. And then I guess another thing that we were discussing is that Rio is a bad place. I said, but Rio has been trying to clean up their act. And they want people to come. You know, that's why they had the Olympics. And so for these guys to say that this is happening, that did not shine a good light on Rio.
Absolutely.
It's already in a bad state anyway, but they didn't need that these, what we would consider squeaky clean guys, making up this big old story about what they had done.
It's called white privilege. Yes. Trump woos black voters. Lynette Holloway of Newsom shares that the following days of protest over a police-involved shooting of a black man in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Donald Trump, a black man in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Donald Trump, the Trump, delivered a speech to a largely white audience outside the city in which he described poor urban neighborhoods as the victims of decades of neglect by the Democratic Party. Pointing to problems of crime, poverty, and education that have plagued Milwaukee and other communities, he described them as consequences of Democrats having a lock on the black vote. He vowed that he would not take voters of color for granted. Clinton doesn't care at all about the hurting people of this country or the suffering she has caused them, Trump said. Now is the time for new leadership. The Hillary Clinton agenda hurts poor black people by far the most. But the setting for Trump's pitch to black America was jarring. He spoke at the Washington County Fairgrounds in a largely white community, about 25 miles from Milwaukee. The choice of venue immediately became the subject of discussion on social media and among political pundits, in part because Trump's campaign has been accused of doing little to outreach to the black community. As a result, he draws just 1% of the African-American vote, according to a new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll in Ohio and Pennsylvania. That's not all. His campaign has turned down appearances before high-profile African-American audience, including the National Urban League, the NAACP, and a joint NABJ-NAHJ conference. Nonetheless, there he was last Tuesday in Wisconsin, delivering a speech appealing to the black vote. It's time for our society to address some honest and very, very difficult truths, Trump said, according to USA Today. The Democratic Party has failed and betrayed the African American community. Democratic crime policies, education policies, and economic policies have produced only more crime, more broken homes, and more poverty.
Okay, what I guess I took away from his speech was his saying was that, what do we have to lose? I'm thinking, if you want to, but it's way too late to try to come after the African-American vote. I don't care if he gets Omarosa or who else he's going to get to try to. People don't even like Omarosa. So why is he trying to get her to get us to vote for him? And then she made some kind of comment. I think it's going to come on really soon about how once he's the president, we're going to be bowing down to him. Have you heard that?
I pay no attention to Donald Trump.
So you don't. But I'm just saying, if you want, I mean, say specifically what you're going to do about black on black. Say what you're going to do. Don't just say, oh, you've been wronged, and so why are you going to vote for this person? You guys haven't been treated right, and then vote for me. But you've never really said anything to us, and the people that you hang around with gives us indication that we don't want to be a part of your organization either.
Indeed.
His I don't like who he hangs around with. Okay.
And speaking of which,
what the hell do you have to lose? I just said that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Why voters should question Trump's business insight. A new report reveals that Trump companies faced up to $650 million in debt. And remember, he still hasn't given out his taxes. He harassed Barack Obama about his birth certificate. And he has done absolutely nothing except say they're being audited. Number one, why are they being audited? Is anybody even asking that question? Why is his taxes being audited? That's the question. There must have been some kind of discrepancy that the auditors have seen to actually have to audit. I've been audited before, okay? When you don't do things you're not supposed to, a red flag comes up.
Indeed.
And when it comes up, they dig into it. So I think there was something to dig into, and he really thinks that he's not going to have to show us income tax. Well, anyway, Nigel Roberts of Newsom shares his observation of Donald Trump in a speech Friday to nearly all white audiences in Michigan. Donald Trump attempted to court black voters again, this time, what the hell do you have to lose? The GOP presidential candidate declined this summer to speak to African American audiences, but has recently stepped up efforts to attract black voters as it becomes clear that he cannot win the general election without the support of voters of color. I just read an article that black voters always swing the direction of who's going to win the presidency. Did you read that article?
I did.
I just read that article. And so I think he must have, or somebody in his presence must have read that article. So he said, okay, I might as well try to get them too. Trump said, you're living in poverty. Your schools are no good. You have no jobs. We all have jobs, which you know, okay. Blaming Democratic policies and claiming that blacks would benefit if he's elected, the real estate magnate, see, we're even still giving him props, presents himself as a successful businessman who knows how to create good paying jobs. But a new investigation raises serious doubt. Trump's companies have at least $650 million of debt and are financially beholden to at least two investors that he's criticized on his campaign trail, the New York Times reports. The Times hired a property information firm, Red Vision Systems, to search public records on nearly three dozen Trump properties and found that his actual debt is at least twice the $315 million he reported on the federal financial disclosure form. That's what he said he was worth, right? Remember? He said he was worth that much? Or he was a billion. In addition to the $650 million debt figure, the Times found that Trump has at least three passive partnerships that owe an additional $2 billion. Trump has boasted that his financial independence means he has no obligations to special interest groups. However, the Times investigated painted a different picture. The Bank of China is a lender in the $950 million loan for a Manhattan office building that Trump partly owns, a country that he has vowed to challenge over his economic practices. Also contributing to the loan in Goldman Sachs, which Trump has said controlled his rival Hillary Clinton. The financial obligations of Trump companies have long raised concerns about the potential conflicts of interest if he becomes president. He would be able to impact tax and monetary policy, perhaps to benefit his own business interests and that of his partners.
I don't trust Donald Trump as far as I could throw him. But that being said, there is no law that states that a presidential candidate has to show their tax forms. And there have been many presidents, both Republican and Democrats, who have not done so.
Really? I thought everybody had to.
No, you don't have to?
You
do not have to. So that's a moot point.
Oh,
Little Bow Wow says he can't relate to black issues because he's mixed. He's mixed up. Admittedly, the presidential election has left a lot of people dazed and confused, but none are as confused, it seems, as Shad, Little Bow Wow Moss. The rapper, actor, is causing quite a commotion on Twitter after saying, in essence, that he can't really relate to the civil rights issues because he's mixed. Mixed up. Someone asked Moss who he would vote for in the upcoming presidential election, and here's how Bow Wow responded. I don't really care because after I learn what I learned about politics, I just stay away, let down. We can all understand that statement, especially after the circus we've witnessed going into this election. Bow Wow should have stopped talking there, but he went on to elaborate that that's where the train went off the rails. Moss continued with, man, I only believe what the eyes see. I'm mixed. I don't know what my ancestors was doing. I only know what I see. I seen Selma. Was I related to anyone? No. I'm saying my Moss side of the family is not black. Heritage different. Moss also posted a picture of his dad and added that the family is a mixture of white and Native America. He pointed out that he has cousins who have blonde hair.
But his mother and his father are black.
He's mixed up.
Master P. And his mother.
He looks black to me.
Master P is black. And as far as I've seen, his mother, she's black too. She got some issues, but she's black too. So just because he came out on the lighter end, he's calling himself mixed?
He's calling himself mixed up.
Okay. Well, there's no, you know what? When people say stupid stuff like that, you don't even talk to them about what they need to do. That's what, as far as I'm concerned. But he's been doing some other stuff too, saying he's no longer a rapper, which I didn't even know he was in the first place. So here we go. Georgia police going door to door to purge minority voters from polls. Okay, we're down south, guys. The GRIO reports that a town in Georgia has been dispatching police to the homes of black residents, not in response to any alleged crimes, but to challenge their right to vote. In a story initially broke by the New York Times, the Hancock County Board of Elections and Registration has been systematically questioning the registrations of more than 180 black residents in Sparta, Georgia, by dispatching deputies with summonses commanding them to appear in person to prove their residence or lose their voting rights. The Board of Education, which is a majority state, has targeted over a fifth of the city's registered voters with this systematic questioning. 32-year-old Marty Flournoy, one man targeted by the police, shared his experience over having his voting rights questioned. When I read the letter, I was kind of nervous, Mr. Flournoy said in an interview. I didn't know what to do. A recent lawsuit has claimed that there was an ulterior motive to the usage of police giving an edge to white candidates in municipal elections. This past November, a white mayoral candidate won a narrow victory. In theory, these black residents would not have to worry about losing their voting rights since they should all have the means to prove their residency. But Sparta election official Marion Warren tells a very different story in practice. Warren documented these purges and alerted voting rights advocates to what was going on. That was a look at African-American headlines from around the world for this week. Tune in next week for the latest news on and for the African-American community. We want to know what you think of current black issues. Send your comments to bringiton@wfhb.org. For Bring It On, I'm Lila Randall.
And I'm Cornelius Wright. You're listening to Bring It On, Indiana's only public affairs program dedicated to the African American community, here on WFHB 91.3 on your radio and live on the web at WFHB.org.
Support for WFHB comes from the Uptown Cafe, a Bloomington landmark since 1976, serving Cajun Creole and home cooking specials every Tuesday and Wednesday evening, featuring a full bar serving fresh handcrafted cocktails. The Uptown Cafe is located in downtown Bloomington. More information is available online at the-uptown.com.
Listen, gather round. I found something that you can use. Mm-hmm. If you listen well, I'm here to tell you you cannot lose. Oh, a simple song, simple melody, yeah, to remind you that you can be the greatest ever. Never, oh, even though sometimes you may lose, oh my, yeah.
Yes you can,
yes you can now.
You just heard Yes You Can by gospel singer Donnie McClurkin. Donnie McClurkin is a gospel vocalist with the soul of Andre Crouch and the contemporary flair of Kirk Franklin. Born into a home filled with domestic violence and drug abuse, McClurkin was rescued by an aunt who sang background vocals with Crouch himself. After staying close to Crouch throughout his boyhood, he began to play piano and sing with his church youth choir. He formed the McClurkin Singers by the time he was a teenager and later formed another group, the New York Restoration Chair. He was recently become engaged to gospel singer Nicole C. Mullins.
It's now time to bring you the events of interest in the Black community. For Bring It On, I'm Cornelius Wright.
And I'm Leela Randall. Auditions called for the upcoming stage play Resilience. Auditions are today and tomorrow. We want all races and ethnicities, all ages, at Monroe County History Center from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Callbacks, if necessary, will be August 24th.
And you're invited to the Black Alumni Weekend, one of my favorite events when I worked at the Alumni Association, and it's September 9th and 10th, 2016. And join them for a festive weekend at IU Bloomington. The first event will be Emoji Day. It's going to be Friday from noon to 7 p.m. at the Neil Marshall Cultural Center, and there'll be community vendors and exhibits. Saturday is the IU football game against Ball State, and that'll be at 4 p.m. at Memorial Stadium. Then there's the unveiling and dedication of the Carrie Parker Taylor portrait, and that will be Saturday at 11 a.m. before the ball game, and that'll be at the Neil Marshall Black Culture Center. And there'll be a fish fry, the annual Neil Marshall fish fry, Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. The advance tickets are $12. On site, it's $15, and that'll be at the Neil Marshall Black Culture Center courtyard. And this event is hosted by the Neil Marshall Alumni Club of the Indiana University Alumni Association, and it's fulfilling the promise. For more info, contact the Neil Marshall Black Culture Center at area code 812-855-9271.
Well, I don't know about you, but I know what my family's having for dinner that night.
Absolutely.
Do you want to learn how your city works? Take the Citizens Academy class September 1st through October 27th. Every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Free, okay?
Always free. Free's a good thing.
Free's a good thing. The Citizens Academy was designated to learn about how the city of Bloomington functions. The class is free. Registration and more information is available online, Citizens Academy. My participation in the Bloomington Citizen Academy has provided the background I need to further my interest and involvement in being an engaged and active citizen. Every Bloomington citizen should have this fabulous opportunity, Susan Savaskas said of class of 2015. For more information on these programs, and Susan, if I got your name wrong, I'm truly sorry, or neighborhood services, contact Vicki Provine or call 812-349-3505.
I'm signed up and I'm looking forward to spending my September and October Thursdays at the Citizens Academy.
Okay. That's a good thing. We'd like to thank Dr. Justin Hunter, former principal of Fairview Elementary and current principal of Skiles Test Elementary of Lawrence Township, for joining us by phone this evening. We want to publicly thank him for his service and leadership at Fairview and wish him well on his new assignment at Skiles Test Elementary in Lawrence Township.
Our show's executive producer is Clarence Boone, with help from WFHB News Department Director Joe Crawford. Our news editor is Michael Nolan, and tonight's board engineer is Floyd Hobson. Our original theme music was created by Jamel Effiam, with additional background tracks by David Baker. For WFHB, I'm Cornelius Wright.
And I'm Leela Randall. Be sure to tune in next Monday, August 29th at 6 p.m. for another edition of Bring It On, right here on your community radio station, WFHB.